Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. Hello, hello, hello. Craziness abounds, doesn't it? Hey, shouldn't Newt Gingrich get out, too? Poor old Herman Cain. They're all liars, right, Herman? Okay. You know, I keep thinking about Herman Cain's wife. I can't stop. Well, none of that happened because Herman's just not that kind of guy. I mean, isn't that the cheated on wife's lament invariably, isn't it? Well, he's not that kind of man. Oh, yes, he is. Well, Herman will be gone by the end of the week, I guess. But how about Newt Gingrich, who is having his 15 minutes of Republican contender 2012 surge right now? What about Newt Gingrich, who never met a woman, single or married, him, that he, you know, wouldn't make a pass at and sometimes score? I mean, come on. If this is the criterion upon which we are going to run people out, I mean, the fact that Herman Cain is a complete moron should have disqualified him to begin with. But because Republican voters are morons, especially the, you know, the primary voters and the straw poll voters, and, you know, because they are, Herman Cain was elevated to front runner status. I mean, what a clown. What a miserable clown. But it's not just Herman. I mean, it's Newt, it's Perry. You hear about Perry's latest. And, of course, it's Bachman and you know, Sic Santorum. You know, it makes his children play with their little dead baby brother or whatever. It's just, I mean, where do these people come from? Seriously. It's too bad that, is it John Huntsman? It's too bad that he made that statement or raised his hand with that little deal about would you accept 10 times the amount of cuts in spending as you would tax increases on the wealthy. And, of course, Huntsman went along with the clown show and said no. Were it not for that, Huntsman might be a very good Republican candidate. One that a lot of disaffected Democrats and independents would vote for. Right? Gingrich should get out, too. Listen, we're opening up the lines early tonight, so if you want to get in and make some comments, 877-996-2556 is the number. This hour, by the way, is sponsored by Lois Swinsky. Thanks, Lois. Her message, Mike, you are my brother from another mother. Oh, no. Keep talking the truth. You can't make this stuff up. The government, the GOP, banks, oil moguls, biopharma, healthcare, no jobs. The fall of the Roman Empire is upon us. It is indeed. Crash, bang, boom, right? Yeah, get out, Newt. Come on, you are such an egotistical chump anyway. Herman! Let me just run through some of these. Herman Cain canceled a private dinner with so-called media heavyweights. That would be corporate media heavyweights that was scheduled for this Saturday coming. The guest list included Matt Lauer, Barbara Wawa, Bill O'Reilly, Greta Van Susteren, and more. Local news station NY1 reported that Cain had reached out to Cindy Adams, the New York Post, the gossip columnist, and asked her to host a private dinner for him at her apartment with A-list members of the media. Herman's getting paid, man. And on Tuesday, that would be today, Adams reportedly received a call from Greta Van Susteren's husband, John Cole, an advisor to Cain, who asked her to cancel the dinner. You didn't know that, did you? Neither did I. One of Herman Cain's advisors is Greta Van Susteren's husband. It's an incestuous little group of right-wing toads over there at Fox, isn't it? I mean, the cancellation, of course, has to do with Ginger White, the Atlanta woman who has stated fairly categorically that Kane had an extramarital affair with her for 13 years. And Kane announced today that he is reassessing his candidacy. Yeah, you better reassess it right out the door, chump. Now, not all is lost. Not everybody is writing Kane off. The heavyweights in the Republican Party, the real fascists who saw him as kind of a interesting little object to toy with for a while, are more or less putting the word out, Herman, get out of the race. So Herman's going to get out. But not all of the Republicans in the United States, the ones who think they are power brokers, are abandoning him. No, no. Lori Klein, remember her, Arizona State Senator? She's the one who last July took out a pink handgun out of her purse and pointed it at the chest of an Arizona Republic, a newspaper reporter. And she said, oh, it's so cute, before she aimed it at him and turned on the red beam of the laser sight. The gun has no safety. But this freak, Klein, Lori Klein, said, I didn't have my finger on the trigger. Anyway, she's endorsing, she's coming out in his favor. Keynes, she has defended him against the allegations that he had a 13-year affair with Ginger White. Like this chump woman would know. Oh, well, here's the background. She says, well, I've known him for 12 years, and he's, quote, never been anything but a gentleman, and I am not an unattractive woman. She added that. What the hell does that mean? He's never been anything but a gentleman, and I am not an unattractive woman. What does that mean? Does that mean that because she, have you seen a picture of her? I'm not going to make any evaluations here, but in her mind, she's not an unattractive woman. So what does that mean? That Herman Cain, because he didn't make a pass at you, sweetheart, that means he's never, all these women that he's put his hands on their legs and up their dresses and down their blouses and now this one had a 13-year affair, none of that happened because he didn't make a pass at you? Ooh, sweetie, you need to have an ego adjustment there just a little bit, I'm afraid. Yes, indeed. What's her name? What is her name? Ginger! My God, I couldn't find it here. I don't pay that much attention. Trust me, I don't pay that much attention to this crap. That's why I can't remember her name. But Ginger said that the relationship with Kane was fun and exciting. I just don't see that. Maybe Ginger saw something that the rest of us can't see. But anyway, Ginger said that she knew that the situation she was getting in was not very nice. You know, it's a married man, so on and so forth. But apparently that was, it was okay. Lori, the Arizona State Senator, who says she'd known him for 12 years, he'd never been anything but a gentleman, and I'm not an unattractive woman, she added that in politics, I love this line, we want a virgin to do a hooker's job. Wow, really? We want a virgin to do a hooker's job. I am not an unattractive woman. Look at my little pink gun. She also said if a Kane is innocent, he should sue Ms. White for libel. Yeah, I wonder why he hasn't. I mean, Herman Cain has a psycho for a lawyer, this Lynn Wood. I mean, this guy is crazier than a loon. He stands up at a press conference and threatens any other women that Herman has molested, assaulted, attacked, or tried to rape, and made it pretty clear that he, Lynn Wood, would take care of business. I'm just advising everybody out there who might come forward, just consider what you might be doing. We'll be right back. Talk going around town saying that Papa had 3 outside children and another wife. And that ain't right. Heard some talk about Papa doing some storefront preaching. Talking about saving souls and all the time reaching. Stealing in the name of the Lord. Mama just wanted to hear him say, Papa was a rolling stone, my son.
Mike Malloy.
Crazy things in the street. Got a couple working on the changes for me, but I gotta keep my game tight like Kobe on game. I like taking from a
21 past the hour. I love that song. It's out of heart out here for a pill. But I love it when the writers of that song thanked Jesus when they got their Academy Award. Remember that? It's hard out here for a pill. All right, we got Herman, and we announced Rick Perry. Perry the Halfwit. This guy, I mean, when I see Perry on television, he looks, I don't know, he's a very handsome man, isn't he? He's a very manly looking man, very handsome man. And he opens his mouth, and out comes this gibberish. I don't know. This guy is just bizarre, berserk. I don't get it. But anyway, he was in New Hampshire. And he was at a college there. And I think this was this today? And, you know, he was talking to students, and he said he wanted the ones to vote for him who will be 21 before Election Day. And for those younger than 21, he asked them to work hard on his behalf. And he said, you know, to work for me up to Election Day, November 12th. Now, first of all, Election Day is November 6th. And secondly, 18-year-olds have had the right to vote in this country now for how many years? Jesus God. Oh. And if you look at the video, you can hear the students in the background going, "What the fuck? Jesus, my!" Then you hear the laughing start. It's just unbelievable. So he tells them, you know, if you be at least 21 before Election Day, I'd like you to vote for me. And for those younger than 21, just work hard on my behalf for the election coming up next November 12th. Jesus. All right. So Perry the Halfwit. And yeah, he gets an endorsement too. You know, the Arizona sheriff, Joe Arpaio, the crazy one, the one who would have made he would have fit in perfectly at one of the concentration camps scattered around Germany and Austria and Poland and Czechoslovakia and some of the other Nazi-occupied countries during the World War II. Arpaio would have made a great concentration camp warden. He really would have. Anyway, he has officially endorsed Texas Governor Rick Perry. That's right, Joe. You endorse somebody, don't know when the election is going to be held, has no idea what the three agencies he would close, and who insists that, you know, if you're 21, please go out and vote for me. Oh, my God. He said that... what did he say here? Oh, this is what Arpaio said, quote, "The federal government has failed on border crime and border enforcement, and no candidate for president has done more to secure the border than Governor Rick Perry. I've been watching Governor Perry in Texas closely and know his border surge operations with state, local, and federal law enforcement officials have helped shut down the illegal trafficking of weapons, drugs, and people. I'm endorsing Rick Perry because we need a tough-on-crime president who will champion and fund full-time border security operation from Brownsville to San Diego. Governor Perry has a superior border security record." Oh, God. Joe Arpaio. You do a lot of strange things with his last name, too, can't you? And Rick Scott, the governor of Wisconsin. Oh, I'm sorry, the different Rick Scott. Different Rick. There's too many of these Ricks. Florida Governor Rick Scott. Now, he's in a state that is near the top of the national chart on food insecurity. There are so many people who don't know where their next meal's coming from. in Florida. But Governor Rick Scott has something to say about homelessness and folks that can't find food to eat. And I'll share that with you when we come back. And then some wacko stuff from Newt Gingrich. And then we're finished. Oh, yeah, one more wacko thing here from the former exorcist of the Vatican's former chief exorcist. He had, and it's too good to wait till church night. So, oh, and Prairie 2. We have a very scary Prairie 2 missive. So stick around. And your phone calls. If you're on hold, stick around. I'm going to get to you just momentarily. Number here is 877-996-2556. When they get caught, they give you $2 cents out of five. They don't worry about what makes you cry. Your child's in a ride. How they gonna die? Gasoline's in short supply. ExxonMobil is barely getting by. With millions in profits, it's just another lie. Hey, don't it make you red state? Hey, don't it make you red state? Hey, don't it make you red state blue? Get some heavy rest.
Here's Mikey.
25 before the hour. So Rick Scott in Florida, governor, took time out this holiday to go to a homeless shelter in East Naples, Florida, to pass out Thanksgiving dinner to families who were there. The shelter's program fed about 7,000 families last week with about 200 volunteers packing and distributing meals. Now, while this Nazi son of a bitch, Rick Scott, was handing out food, he says, I care completely about all these programs. I do. He has an unusual way of showing it. In his budget cuts this year, he slashed funding to some veteran and farm surplus programs that helped the homeless. And he said, quote, I care completely about all these programs. All the programs are very important, but nobody wants their taxes to go up. So what Rick Scott did, you know, he really cares. What he did, he zeroed out all homeless funding, all of it, every dime, $7 million worth of homeless funding into the pockets of the wealthy who put this Nazi bastard in office. The funding that he ended supported programs dedicated to homelessness prevention, housing initiatives, and programs that help people get back into some kind of housing once they're on the street. And not only that, he took out the line item so it can never be funded again. And to show how much he cares about the homeless, Scott went further by vetoing an additional $12 million in funding that the state legislature had passed to support homeless veterans. Florida has about the second highest number of homeless veterans in the country, 17,000 of them in Florida. Homeless, homeless, homeless veterans, 17,000 homeless veterans. And Rick Scott gutted the programs that help them. And then this miserable son of a bitch has the audacity to go to a homeless shelter. It's a wonder somebody didn't hold his head down in a vat of turkey gravy until he stopped squiggling. He goes to a homeless shelter and talks about how he cares about all the... Almost finished. Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich has an idea of putting kids to work to clean out schools and get rid of the unionized adult janitors. The ones who are with the American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees. But Gingrich says putting the kids to work would save money. You know, I've got a second grader in public elementary school, right? And Gingrich wants my kid to sweep the floors. You miserable son of a bitch. Now, this is the guy that has the open-ended Tiffany account that he carries an outstanding balance of six figures. This is the one married to that strange-looking mannequin, that animatronic mannequin who just kind of walks along. Here's a recap of what he said about this idea over the past week. First of all, this is a truth out. First of all, you know those child labor laws that were enacted in the 19th century to protect children from exploitation? Laws that limit working hours and give them time to get a decent education and blah, blah, blah. Those laws are still in effect, Newt. They really are. The working hours of children under 16 are limited to no more than 3 hours a day or 18 hours a week when school is in session. But that's, you know, I mean, we're talking about Newt Gingrich there. He calls the child labor laws, quote, truly stupid, end quote. Stupid? Child labor laws stupid? What does this miserable son of a bitch want? I mean, this is another one of these right-wing, Nazi-style, fascist right-wingers. Get rid of the child labor laws because those laws are stupid. He wants some kid janitors. He said, quote, kid janitors would, quote, be dramatically less expensive than unionized janitors, end quote. Oh, God. But, you know, before everybody starts jumping on his ass like I am, he's only talking about kids working 20 hours a week. You know, that's all. He actually said that kids in the poorest neighborhoods are trapped by the child labor laws that prevent them from earning money. Those laws also protect kids from serious exploitation. But what is this lard ass thug? So what should schools do to carry out Gingrich's plan here, 18th century plan? Quote, get rid of their unionized janitors. Have one master janitor and pay local students to take care of the school. The kids actually do the work. And that would give them pride in schools. And the students would begin the process of rising. Oh, my God. I mean, these people are serious. You know, cleaning a school, that includes sanitizing toilets, handling hazardous cleaning chemicals, scrubbing floors with a mop for hours. You imagine a 9-year-old doing that? Right, Newt? Huh? Well, the little son of bitches wear rubber gloves. Right, Newt? Another point that Gingrich kind of ignores, a lot of these unionized janitors, ooh, they're a threat to freedom! They're unionized janitors! They're a threat to freedom! Yeah! A lot of those unionized janitors he'd replace with second graders are parents, and their janitorial jobs you know, put a roof over kids' heads and food on the table and provide them with health care and a chance to get an education. You could argue that dad or mom being a janitor is the only thing between a kid and poverty. Firing someone's mom or dad and hiring some 8-year-old isn't exactly the process of rising up the ladder from poverty to the middle class, right, Newt? You filthy pig. You filthy pig. Where do these people come from? Where do these people come from? Whew. Let me read my message from Lois, who's sponsoring this hour, to get my mind back. Lois Swinsky, who's our sponsor, writes, Mike, you are my brother from another mother. Keep talking the truth. You can't make this stuff up. The government, the GOP, banks, oil moguls, biopharma, healthcare, no jobs, the fall of the Roman Empire is upon us. You are so right, Lois, and thanks for the sponsorship. You left off Newt Gingrich, though. I mean, Rick Perry doesn't know how old you have to be in this country to vote. And Newt Gingrich doesn't give a damn. He wants to fire unionized janitors out of the schools and put third graders to work swabbing toilets. What do these people, what do these Republicans use for brains? I'm serious. I mean, where do these asswipes get any kind of consciousness at all? Where does this come from? The Iranians attacking the British embassy, right? And the comparisons. Don't you love the comparisons? Doesn't that look like the U.S. 1979, or attacking the U.S. embassy in 1979? Okay. Nicola is in Boston. Hello, Nicola. Okay, Nicola got cold feet and split. All right. 877-996-2556 if you want to join in. The Vatican's former chief exorcist says yoga and Harry Potter are tools of the devil. This is in today's New York Daily News. Father Gabriel Amorth said, practicing yoga is satanic. It leads to evil, just like reading Harry Potter. You know, and some of you scum suckers who send me your nasty emails because I think the Catholic Church is an organization of psychopaths and child molesters. I mean, what do you want as proof? What do you want as proof? Practicing yoga is satanic? Reading Harry Potter? You mean the millions of children around the world are now demon-possessed? Have you seen a picture of this guy? Son of a bitch. I'll tell you, the demons he's exorcised have all gone into him. You ought to see a picture of him. Incredible. Father Gabriel said that the seemingly innocuous Harry Potter books convince kids to believe in black magic. And your religion convinces kids to believe in eternal damnation and hellfire and pain and death and demons and destruction and exorcisms! He said, Father Gabriel said, quote, in Harry Potter, the devil acts in a crafty and covert manner under the guise of extraordinary powers, magic spells, and curses. This is what the guy said. And as for yoga, yoga leads to, oh no, be still my beating heart. Yoga leads to Hinduism. And, quote, all Eastern religions are based on a false belief in reincarnation. Well, don't you people believe that, Father Gabriel? I mean, didn't your Messiah reincarnate? Father Gabriel Amorth made these remarks at a film festival in the Italian city of Umbria, where he was invited to introduce a movie about exorcism, which stars Anthony Hopkins, entitled The Rite, R-I-T-E. And Father Gabriel said, quote, Satan is always hidden, and what he most wants is for us not to believe in his existence. He studies every one of us and our tendencies toward good and evil, and then he offers temptations. Father Gabriel claims to have performed 50,000 exorcisms before retiring in 2000. Well, let's see, if he was a priest for 50 years, that's 1,000 a year, that's 3 a day. Busy, busy little man, wasn't he, huh? Good Lord! He is both founder and honorary president for life of the International Association of Exorcists. They have an office on K Street in Washington. You know they do. He's Jesuit. Father Gabriel's remarks might strike many as the ravings of a man possessed, but remember that the Nazi Pope Benedict once warned of, quote, subtle seductions, end quote, in the Potter books that, quote, dissolve Christianity in the soul, end quote. The Pope has also warned that yoga, quote, can degenerate into a cult of the body, end quote. A cult of the body? Walk into any Catholic church anywhere on earth. Take a look at what's hanging somewhere above the altar or behind the altar. You want a cult of the body? Take a look at that. Did I mention this hour has been sponsored by Lois Swinsky? Thank you, Lois. Her message, Mike, you are my brother from another mother. Keep talking the truth. You can't make this stuff up. The government, the GOP, banks, oil moguls, biopharma, healthcare, and no jobs. The fall of the Roman Empire is upon us. Thanks, Lois. The chief, former chief exorcist of the Roman Catholic Church. Amazing stuff, isn't it? Huh? Isn't it amazing? How many of the... Newt's Catholic. He's a convert. He went from... I don't know what he was. What was he? But I think his animatronic wife talked him into Catholicism. We'll be back after the break. If you're on hold, stick around. We'll take your call when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program. Phone number here is 877-996-2556. One more thing before we come to your calls. So, just hold on a minute, okay? From Prairie 2, from Bruce Enberg, the subject line, tomorrow could be one of those days you will tell your grandchildren about around the campfire under the bridge where you live. He writes, the British are experiencing an economic disaster driven by austerity and corporate tax evasion, but their prime minister announced today that there will be five more years of the same, only worse, in his budget. He's also setting them up for even harsher measures if the euro collapses. According to people who claim to be informed on the subject, the euro has weeks or months to live at best. Reports are that businesses are already laying plans for operating in a post-euro environment. With the European Central Bank refusing to step in, this is certainly the outcome to be expected. It's impossible to predict the fallout from ending the euro. It could actually be a good thing, allowing for the smaller countries to control their own debt by inflation. Only with the bankers moving to grab power, it definitely won't be a good thing at all. How this will all shake out with the big zombie banks in the U.S. is anybody's guess. Doubtless, they will use it as an opportunity to grab more power. However, some people seem to be concerned about resistance from the peasants. The U.S. Senate has retained a provision in the Defense Authorization Bill to allow indefinite detention of Americans taken prisoner anywhere in the world, including in your house. Prisoners can be taken secretly at any time with no more cause than their say-so, and you might be whatever they choose to define as terrorist. No evidence is required, no probable cause to get a warrant, no hearing, no trial. No public disclosure that you are a prisoner, not where you are held, nor whether you are dead or alive. Forever. A And let me digress. I will be talking about this extensively next hour. Back to Prairie 2. The Udall Amendment to strip this blatant repeal of the Constitution from the defense bill failed today with 61 votes against, including 13 Democrats and Lieberman. This law will end the concept of habeas corpus after 800 years. President Obama has vowed to veto the law if it reaches his desk. I would say that would be a defining moment if he doesn't. A similar repeal of constitutional rights during the reign of the Bush crime family was itself repealed the following year by Congress. I suspect that bank lobbyists may be the real impetus behind the amendment, but only four of the Democrats serve on the Banking Committee voted in favor of the bill. Still, that is a third of the Democrats who voted on the dark side. In other news, American Airlines became the last legacy carrier to file for Chapter 11 protection from creditors. It's not even pretending this is about anything but breaking its unions. It claims it has a $900 million annual disadvantage from its competition because it pays decent wages. American Airlines isn't in any trouble, however, since it has $3 billion in the bank. Standard & Poor's downgraded six of the biggest zombie banks today. We'll see in the next couple of days if this triggers some sort of disaster involving that unimaginable mountain of derivatives these banks are involved in. A credit downgrade can easily trigger a margin call on credit default swaps used to insure the bonds of banks. This was what brought down Lehman Brothers and AIG and triggered the credit collapse of 2008. And confirming that we are, in fact, in a Great Depression. Bank of America recently moved $47 trillion in derivatives to its banking division from Merrill Lynch in order to cover a margin call. This came after a credit downgrade in September, putting the taxpayer on the hook to cover 17% of all U.S. bank deposits if the Bank of America fails because of it. Bank of America, along with Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, and Wells Fargo, all were downgraded after hours today. Tomorrow might be one of those days you tell the grandchildren about around the campfire under the bridge where they live. President Obama, continues to claim we are climbing slowly out of our current difficulties. I guess you can't blame Obama for cheerleading. Herbert Hoover could have done something since he had a willing Congress. If Obama acknowledged our current predicament, it would only make it worse, and it wouldn't affect the death cult in control of Congress. They would blame him for talking down the economy while continuing to do everything they can to seal our fate. Our fate is really in our hands. You just need to stay one step ahead of the military's terrorist roundup. Prairie 2. I'll tell you what, between Enberg here and Bob Alexander, I'm starting to think it may be time to, Bruce, I've got more goddamn food, canned goods stored in my basement than I know what to do with. I've got jugs of water that are good until 2013. I have a relative who is in the, who is in the gun business. He works for a company that supplies weaponry to police forces. Huh? And I was thinking about calling him today and asking him if he could, what kind of a deal he could get me on another Glock. But every time I read something by Bob Alexander or Prairie 2, both of whom are very good writers, when Prairie 2 uses his spell check, I'm left with this feeling of, Jesus God. I mean, both these guys are very bright, like a lot of you are, who write to me. These guys are very bright, very articulate, And I mean, I read this stuff and I think, dear God, what? I don't know. I just think maybe we all ought to get up and dance. You think that would help? I don't know. But I get weirded out here. Between Bob Alexander and Prairie 2, who now, I've never met Bruce, hung out with Alexander. I mean, I feel like I know him and his family. And we even now, we're to the point where we have mutual friends. I've never met Prairie 2, but I feel like both of them are kind of these amorphous beings that just kind of float just outside my vision, my field of vision. And they keep writing me this stuff that is pretty spooky. I'll tell you what, when we come back after this break, I think we need to dance. We'll be right back. Feel better, right? Sanchez is in East LA.
Okay, I stole it. I'm sorry. I'm guilty. Dun, dun, dun.
You don't even know what Kishka is. Come on, come on. You have no idea.
What is it, some Polish sausage?
Close enough.
Some daughter's virginity?
Closer.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
What's All right. up? What's up, Sanchez?
The absolute latest right now that I just found out while I've been on hold here is information that is just, I'm speaking now about Occupy LA. I'm over here in East LA.
Yeah.
And I ran home basically to make the call on the landline here, and I just got the information. It was aired on a couple of the other radio stations here.
Uh-huh.
The raid on Occupy Los Angeles is imminent, probably sometime tonight. If I may just lead up, we were supposed to be ousted last night.
Mm-hmm.
But the LAPD, they don't want a scene like they've had in New York, or they don't want a scene like they've had in Oakland. They want this to be as peaceful, as civilized as possible. But now, because it's now us versus them, and we gain more strength every time they delay, they want no more delays. As I'm hearing right now, the LAPD is staging in somewhere in Dodger Stadium, probably in the parking lot, and they're getting ready for a raid. I'm in East LA. It's probably going to take me an hour on the bus to get back to the camp right now, but the news was basically we've been holding our position there at City Hall on the north end.
How many people are still there, Sanchez? How many occupied?
The GA, I'm at home now, but the GA was supposed to start, and our last few GAs have been numbering about 600 to 700 people assembling for just the General Assembly. Not the people that are in camp. Some of the people, including myself, I have a nice sleeping bag and a beautiful tent, and I didn't want those taken. So I brought those home, and I've been going back and forth on the number 18 bus in order to get in to participate, but I'm still there. I came home, and in the meantime, one of my connections there called me, and like I said, it was also aired on local radio station KPFK. Jim Lafferty, who's our person from the National Lawyers Guild, received the information probably now about 10 or 15 minutes ago saying that the raid is imminent.
Do you have a video camera of any sort?
I'm bringing a flip camera. If you look around, if I can send you if you go to Live Station and look for Occupy LA, there is a live feed. They wouldn't let me on their limited wireless because they only have enough to go for the people that they have down there. But I don't have it exactly. If I can look for it and send it to you in an email, yes. But the other problem is, here's the other problem. They're keeping all the clergy out. They don't want any priests, no pastors, nobody praying in front of the police saying, oh, you know, as you were trying to pray a few minutes ago. They don't want any of that tonight. And only...
What about press?
Only certain hand-picked media. They had a powwow last night with certain members of the local press. So I figure that your Fox News will be able to get in, while all of the progressive or any of the other people that would normally give us a fair shake will probably be staying out.
All right, Sanchez, will you hold on a minute? Because I want to ask you a couple more questions.
Okay.
But we've got to do a break here. We'll come back with... Sanchez, who is in East L.A. with whatever information we can get about what appears to be an imminent move on the Occupy L.A. people by Villaraigosa's army. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Mike Malloy.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do
you... 25 before the hour. We're talking with Sanchez in East L.A. about the Occupy L.A. update. I just got an email from Deb that lists about, oh my God, 20 or 25 different video sources that will be streaming from Occupy L.A., Sanchez,
yeah,
when this event, if it's going to occur, begins to occur. Now, it's my understanding they're waiting until midnight Pacific time?
Midnight Pacific time seems to be about the right guess here. You're being mentioned right now, the Mike Malloy Show, as a source for information on the Global Revolution site, which is the livestream.com.
Mm-hmm.
But that's for Occupy Wall Street mostly, and then everybody goes there to get their information. So a shout out to that chat room because they were listing you as a source of information. And if anybody can hear me from that chat room, please list a reliable source because they're supposed to be airing the General Assembly right now. No matter what the General...
Did we lose Sanchez? I think we did. All right, Sanchez, why don't you call back and we'll put you on the air. There is a Ustream.tv live stream coming from, or live streaming coming from Occupy LA, if you can get to that. I would hope that Villaraigosa, the mayor of L.A., has instructed his army not to get into some kind of police violence. We got Sanchez back. All right.
Yeah, I apologize. I don't know what
That's
happened
right.
there. So, pick up. Were you going to ask me a question, or where did I?
The main thing that I think I would like to know, and I think people listening to this program would like to know, is the what happened last night. The cops show up and then they leave.
There was a standoff between the police and Occupy LA demonstrators, and they held a line, like a whole line, a protection line on First Street, and I believe it was a Spring. And they successfully held the line while there were priests and ministers that were reciting from the Bible, and they were basically giving the, they were reading they were throwing the book at the cops, telling them, why are you doing this to these children? It was a dramatic scene. And you know, what happens is, on the police line, if the officer becomes emotional, and you can tell through their visors if they're beginning to crack. Now, when I say crack, if what the words that the priests or any of the demonstrators are saying to them gets to them, they get tearful, and immediately they're pulled out of the line, and then another fresh recruit is sent right in there, and that officer is sent to the back of the line. So those things are tending to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The police, Charlie Beck is his name. That's the police chief. He doesn't want this to turn into an Oakland, and they're trying as tactfully as possible not to make this a mess like Oakland or San Diego or what happens in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they're only going to let certain media in, okay, handpicked. And I'm probably guessing Fox will be the
only
one.
Right, now, let me ask you that. How can they stop? You know, everybody is media now. I mean, anyone who has a phone is media. So what the hell are they talking about? They're only going to let certain media in. I mean, that's an impossibility, isn't it, Sanchez?
Well, maybe they. How did this line just get scrambled right now?
Well, I don't know. You know, that's it could be something here. We have drop calls all the time, but
oh.
I'm talking about stopping people with a video recording capability from already there, or people
yeah.
who are showing up. You can't
yeah.
you can't stop it now. I mean, there's not a police force on earth that can stop. I don't care if it's in Iran or Egypt or East LA or LA. You cannot stop video recordings from occurring. Look what's been going on in Syria with thousands of people being murdered, and every single day new videos are put up. So what the hell is Villaraigosa or whoever's in charge here? What are they talking about? No media. I mean, that's impossible.
Well, I have one live stream that is working right now. This is on the ustream.tv
right.
/ channel
right.
/ and this is in one word, cross X bones.
Cross X bones?
Bones, yes, that's the listing, and
okay.
currently it's pretty dark because there's not too many lights when they're doing the General Assembly. I can't run the sound because otherwise it would interrupt our call right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Global Revolution site is currently running reruns right now of the New York police dragging people away like they did. So that's what LA is trying to avert. But like I say, we got the word, they're staging again. We successfully blocked them yesterday. And as I said, every single day that we occupy, we grow stronger. And that's what Charlie Beck and the Villaraigosa, that's what they don't want. And as I understand it, by the way, Villaraigosa's orders come all the way straight from the top. This is because of an incident that I told you about, what was it, 3 weeks ago, when Barack Obama came into town and we embarrassed his Secret Service by occupying the median in front of his little corporate fundraiser, you know, in the wall, I mean, in that motorcade, the president's going, what the hell is that stuff out there? They're not supposed to be there. Get rid of those people. And that's why the order came down.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you saying somebody heard Obama say that?
Well, I have my sources.
Yeah, but he travels in a sealed limo.
Yeah. Well, the word comes from people that work for him, and the word went to Villaraigosa. Yes, it's his city, but, you know, there's things that are going on here. So the word went to Villaraigosa, then the word goes to the city council right now. What's his name? One of the councilmen came and addressed us on Sunday, and he's like, hey, I love your spirit and everything here, but you guys gotta go. You gotta go on the 28th, so you can't camp out. So he basically petered out as well. So mm-hmm. it's a standoff, and it's going to happen tonight. So,
I've got a live stream up now. It is, excuse me, ustream.tv/channel/occupy-los-angeles-live.
Okay.
So it's just ustream.tv/channel/occupy-los-angeles-live, but between Occupy, Los Angeles, and Live, there are dashes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I'm looking at live streaming right now. There seems to be a lot of activity. I don't see any law enforcement there yet. I see a lot of people.
Right. It's only 7:43 p.m.
Right.
here on the live program on KTLK. It's going to be 9:43.
Mm-hmm.
But midnight is in a few hours here, so that's when they'll plan to announce it. That's like they did last night, and it was I think it was like a 3 or 4 hour standoff that the activists, all the Occupy LA people, got together in one solid line, and they wouldn't let the cops go.
Have you attended a GA since then? Has there been any decision made about how to respond tonight?
It's that passive, you know. I haven't attended tonight's because it's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I have to come back to East LA in order to make the calls on the landline because I can't make them from the camp.
Right.
So I don't know what's going on there tonight. But my my little contacts there, they gave me the basic information, and we're basically going to do the same thing we did last night. It's a passive resistance. Mm-hmm. We are peaceful. We are nonviolent, and you know, we just basically not going limp, but we have been trained already as to how to to not resist, but how to be arrested.
What's your take on Villaraigosa as far as his attitude? I realize he's been fairly accommodating, if that's the right word, to Occupy LA, but it's also clear now that the reports are out there. A lot of people saying that Naomi Wolf doesn't know what she's talking about, but be that as it may, the reports are out there now that there has been a conference call among mayors, and there has been some sort of guidance by the Department of Homeland Security to bring this to an end.
Yeah.
So what is Villaraigosa's attitude?
Right now?
It's can you hold on again?
Go for it.
I've got to do a break here. We'll be back. All right. Stay with me here, Sanchez. We'll be right back. Sanchez in East L.A. All right, listen, Sanchez, the video I'm looking at right now and the audio that's coming with it that I have muted now, it's from First in Maine, and the guy doing this, Jordan, is saying that you can hear the cops using amplified sound. They are giving them a five-minute warning. And the police are saying they are now involved in unlawful assembly, and whatever force needed will be used. And right in the middle of the shot here that Jordan is providing, there's an NBC. Is it Channel 5?
KTLA is Channel 5.
And is that NBC?
No, that's an independent. KNBC is Channel 4. That would be NBC. KTLA is Channel 5, which is an independent.
Okay, well, I'm looking. Okay, I guess it's Channel 4, NBC, LA. But apparently they're not waiting until midnight at all. What is it, 7:51 out there?
Yes.
And they are...
okay, so that's what they were just saying. I've just got an email confirmation of that. They're saying First in Spring is where it's happening.
I think this videographer said First in Maine, but I may have misunderstood. So what does, you know, five-minute warning, and in the background of the shot, it's clear now that you can see, there goes the NBC Channel 4 guy, I think he's moving his truck, but you can see a line of police forming up back there. No, they're not moving the truck. They're getting out more cameras. But it looks like there's something about to happen very imminent here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's looking like they were trying to even outsmart us by holding it earlier. And while everybody's in the General Assembly, which started at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time here, everybody's in a collective place. But your camera is on the other side of the City Hall. So everybody is currently on the south side of the City Hall collecting there. Unless you're in your tents, some people do not attend the General Assemblies, but today's would be important. So they might form another string like they did last night. That's the only thing I can think of right now because I don't have access to the audio. As soon as I unmute, I'm doing the same thing you are here. So I'm just at this point guessing what the mindset would be, and the mindset would be is to make a barrier Don't let them come in. And just stay nonviolent like they did last night. That's what they were doing. And there was only a few people that were trying to, you know, call out the police, but those could be the provocateurs.
Mm-hmm.
There's always provocateurs.
Well,
there was a rumor that there were like some Minutemen Tea Party provocateurs that were going to try and upset our General Assembly tonight because we were going to have a vote about whether we would continue or not. And so there was a rumor that they were already in the camp. There's other elements that are in the camp as well. So it's difficult when you're there, but now it's even more difficult because I can't. Give me just a second here. See what this message says here.
Well, apparently the cops are saying that they're getting ready to clear the streets, but not the park. Is that?
Yeah, that's the first thing that they have to do because of any remnant traffic, any pedestrians that may be involved there. So they're going to give those people a couple of minutes to clear out and give the people that do wish to leave a chance to get out. They're probably going to leave via, if they're up on First Street right now, they're probably going to have to go east.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to exit east and probably head into Skid Row if anybody's going to be able to get out that way. But it would sound to me, by what they were telling me before, if they're in full staging gear, that circle's going to be closed pretty quickly.
Well, Sanchez, let me let you go because I'm sure you want to get back over there.
Yeah.
And I've got somebody here from in San Francisco that I want to bring on the air. Just be careful. Watch out for rubber bullets. You know what's inside a rubber bullet. So
I know.
Okay, just be careful.
Wish me luck, man.
All right. Hope to hear from you tomorrow.
Okay, thanks.
Take it easy, Sanchez. Mark is in San Francisco. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah, we're going to have Friday, December 2nd, a day of action in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to focus on basically expanding Social Security, no cuts to Medicaid, Medicare for all, tax the rich. Put on the email I got was from the San Francisco Labor Council.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be big. I know one of the guys that planned it, and he said it's going to be a big march.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in the Bay Area and you can make it to San Francisco on Friday at 2 p.m., be in front of the federal building. And from there, we'll march into the financial district.
Do you know what intersection the federal building is?
I think it's on, let me see here what the flyer says. Let's see, Occupy Third. I don't have the exact address.
Okay, that's right. I'm sure people in that area in San Francisco will know exactly where it is. And that is what date? Saturday?
No, that's Friday. December 2nd at 2 p.m. in front of the federal building. And it'll be going on into the evening.
Okay.
From what I understand, it's going to be very big.
All right. If you have any kind of an email, you can send me. If you want to send it on, I'll be sure and get it up, get it on the air.
And if people want to Google Friday Day of Action, December 2nd, they'll be able to get the flyer.
Okay. Friday Day of Action.
Yeah, it should be big, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
We're going to take the offense on these issues.
Well, it may be time.
Okay, brother.
Take it easy. All right, when we come back, imminent as something may be in Los Angeles, I do want to cover this National Defense Authorization Act and what this means. Hi. May you live in interesting times, huh? We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. back. It is 7 past the hour. We touched on this last night, and I pretty much just skimmed over it. The National Defense Authorization Act that is being debated in secret, apparently, in the Senate. And this is truly bipartisan. I hate to throw the word treason around. I think Bush and Cheney and the Bush crime family committed treason on a daily basis. So I don't know if what Carl Levin and John McCain, the two senators who have approved this bill and brought it before their committee, Senate Armed Services Committee, for debate. I don't know if what they have done would be considered treason or not. But I think Americans have got to understand what's going on here. First of all, to inject a little bit of irony into this, this bill, this act, this proposed legislation, it's my understanding, is opposed by both the White House and the Pentagon. Neither Barack Obama nor Panetta want this. Isn't Panetta head of the Pentagon now? I think so. It's hard to keep track of all the musical chairs nonsense that goes on. But anyway, neither the civilian nor the military establishments in this country, governing establishments, want this piece of legislation. Now, that may be just the cover story. You know, who knows? Do you understand how your government works anymore? Do you honestly feel that your government responds to you? I frankly do not, and haven't for a long, long time, probably 25 or 30 years. Occasionally, a piece of legislation may slip through inadvertently or because the people who back that legislation are slick, that in fact benefits the American people. But most of what is passed, most of what is even considered, is passed or considered for the benefit of the national security state and for the 1% that Occupy has been trying to educate us about. So, the reports that both the executive branch and a division of that branch, the military establishment, oppose the National Defense Authorization Act is a little suspect to me. Sorry, but that's just how corrupted my thinking has become about the grand old U.S. of A. and the glorious advantages of capitalist-inspired freedom and democracy and mom and apple pie and let's go kill some Afghans and Pakistanis and Yemenis and Somalis and Iraqis and eventually Iranians, right? Huh? Huh? So you'll excuse my cynicism? That's one of the reasons I just can't seem to make the transition to a television program, because too much cynicism and anger. The bill provides for military detention of any suspect accused of involvement in any terror-related offense. Now, military detention would include those accused of offenses as, well, Martha Stewart crime, lying to a federal agent. Now, had this been in effect when Martha Stewart was sentenced to those months in jail, she was not convicted for insider trading. She was convicted for lying to a federal agent. Had this act been in place when Martha Stewart was brought to trial, she could have been, well, first of all, she could have been denied a trial and just placed in military detention indefinitely. Okay, so that's a dumbass example, but it is an example of what this thing, the depth to which the National Defense Authorization Act goes in destroying the absolute foundation of this country, that you are innocent until proven guilty. I'm not talking about Herman Cain. Herman Cain's a chump. Herman Cain is a jerk who's been out messing around on his old lady, and the women are coming forward and say, hey, he was messing around with me. That has nothing to do with legalities. So let's not go there. I'm sure the pig man will probably go there. This involves actual detention. This involves stripping you of your presumed innocence and placing you in the custody of the United States military indefinitely. This is what the Israelis do to Palestinians. This is why the other day when the Israeli soldier was traded for, what, 1,300, 1,500, whatever the number was, Palestinian detainees, some of whom had been held in Israeli jails for as much as 7, 8, 9 years with no charges, no trial, no nothing. So, the model is there. I would not be the least bit surprised to find out that Carl Levin and John McCain have modeled this, or whoever wrote this piece of anti-American, anti-freedom, anti-democratic piece of legislation. I would not be surprised if they had not used the Israeli law as a model. Have I got that right? I would not be surprised if they had used. Okay. Well, you get into tricky territory when you use double negatives. You know that. Anyway, military detention of any suspect, even those apprehended within the United States. Now, the Obama administration has made it very clear that American citizens may be targeted and summarily executed overseas. They have done it, I think, twice. The Obama administration has allowed this to happen twice. The Obama administration has taken the Bush crime family's tactics one step further where it concerns drone attacks. The Obama administration, I think in the first 18 months of its existence, executed more drone attacks and killed more innocent people than the entire 8 years of the Bush-Cheney crime family. That's a horrifying statistic, isn't it? But, of course, we don't pay a whole lot of attention to that. I mean, you know, it's Democratic president. They don't do bad things, do they? So, military detention of any suspect, including those apprehended within the U.S., accused of involvement in anything that could be remotely considered a terror-related case. Now, what constitutes a terror-related case? Well, among other things, if you are approached by a charitable solicitation for an organization to feed Palestinian refugee children who have been driven from their homes by the Israeli Defense Forces and the Likudnik settlers, and you make a contribution because, oh, I don't know, it's Christmas and the little starving children. And it turns out that the U.S. government has decided that that organization to which you contributed is really a terror organization. Then you are liable for military detention indefinitely. Now, am I pushing it? No. This is what the law says. Or this is what the bill says, if it passes into law. Think about that for a second. We'll come back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Cleaning up America one flying monkey at a time. Here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So the National Defense Authorization Act, which begins from the premise that if the executive branch, i.e. the president, decides to detain you, an American citizen, here or abroad, you have no recourse. And that detention will be handled by the military. You have no recourse. And it is indefinite. You have no recourse. None. In any of these instances. Now, the fact that Carl Levin and John McCain have co-conspired, a Democrat and a Republican have co-conspired to get this in front of the Senate for secret debate is astonishing. It's just astonishing. Like I said, this is very comparable, if not parallel, to what the Israeli government uses against Palestinians, citizens of Israel. I'm talking about citizens of Israel and non-citizens of Israel, of course, people in the occupied territories. But here we go. This is Stalinesque. There are so many people within the Israeli government who are Russian. So much influence. And one has to assume, I have to assume, that a lot of that is the Stalinist holdover. Sorry, but that's what I'm left with. Now, you know, we talk about on this program an awful lot about the undercurrent of fascism in this country. Maybe a better word would be totalitarianism, because both fascism and Stalinism qualify as the kind of totalitarianism I'm talking about. But here we come with this. Now, as Truthout has pointed out in one of its news analyses about this, the most glaring problem with this legislation is its violation of the most fundamental values shared across our political spectrum. Yeah, even Republicans and conservatives, liberals and Democrats. Now, I'm not talking about the capitalist state or the corporate state or the national security state. They have no values. Capitalism is valueless. There is no value section. There are no human rights subparagraphs where it comes to capitalism. Or to totalitarianism, or to corporatism. But across the generally accepted political spectrum in this country is the idea that prosecutors don't determine guilt. That we are innocent until proven guilty before the law, before a court. That our guilt has to be proved, that making a charge against us is not the same as convicting us. Now, this is a Stalinist idea, that once you are charged, you're guilty. This is a totalitarian idea. Once you're charged, you're guilty. This is what Carl Levin and John McCain have introduced into the political debate in the U.S. Senate. Accepting the idea that prosecutors are the arbiters of guilt is madness, but it's also a clear definition of totalitarianism. J'accuse, therefore you're guilty. We have courts in America. We have judges in those courts. And the judges are there to determine, based on evidence presented, how much power the state exercises over the individual. Jesus, I mean, this is just basic stuff. But Carl Levin and John McCain have decided it's time to change. It's time to turn this country into a military dictatorship. It's time to go ahead and take that last step. Presumption of innocence, get real. The Bush crime family already destroyed habeas corpus. An idea that if someone is being detained, if someone is arrested, have their constitutional rights guaranteed by our Constitution been violated in order to lock them up. That is gone. This puts the final nail in the coffin of the presumption of innocence or the fact that a prosecutor does not determine guilt. that guilt is determined by a presentation of evidence in open court in front of a jury and or a judge, and a determination is made about guilt based on that presentation of evidence. This is astonishing. Being considered innocent until proven guilty is a bedrock constitutional guarantee. And as Truthout points out, it's a cornerstone in the edifice of our founders constructed to defend freedom from the possible tyranny that Levin and McCain are now inviting into this country. More on this when we come back.
Bells in Auschwitz and Dachau, remember. David Starr, a people's shroud, remember. No refuge and no hiding place for non-members of the master race. All nations enslaved and debased, remember. Blood and toil and sweat and tears, remember. The nightmare lasted 6 long years, remember. The world drowned in the bloody tide of war and death and genocide. 57 million died, remember. It's happening again.
Take your head out of the sand and shake it free now.
Truth Seekers, Uncle Mikey has another bedtime story. Back to Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, we're talking about the the National Defense Authorization Act that is being debated apparently in secret now in the Congress or in the Senate, introduced by Senators Carl Levin and John McCain, a Democrat and Republican. Both of whom are apparently demonstrating their contempt and disrespect for the Constitution of the United States, A, B, and the American people. Maybe I've got that backwards. Maybe it's the American people first and the Constitution second. However it is, the National Defense Authorization Act would expand preventive and arbitrary detention beyond Guantanamo and the CIA's black sites that we're not supposed to know about, and bring it all into the United States. Now, one can make an argument, come on, Malloy, don't be so naive, this is going on. Okay, it's going on. We understand that. People are still being detained illegally. They are being detained in a manner that the Nuremberg war trials found as criminal. We also know that the Obama administration is continuing Bush administration policies that were determined to be the ultimate war crimes by the same Nuremberg war crimes tribunals. But it doesn't seem to matter anymore. Apparently, the electorate in this country has been so debased, dehumanized, trivialized and turned into a bunch of goddamn sheep that we don't care anymore. You know, we will focus a lot of attention on whether or not Herman Cain has had sex with another woman, but we will not focus on something called the National Defense Authorization Act and be in the streets. This is an in the streets event, but we're not there, and we probably won't be. So the debate in the Senate will go on quietly. Well, Carl Levin and John McCain, and one can presume that almost all, Republicans and a hefty number of Democrats will support this. Because they understand something. these members of Congress. If they don't support it, come election time, their opposition, whether it's Democrat or Republican, will construct a political ad that says, did you know that Senator X supports terrorists? When an effort was made to protect the American people, Senator X stood in the way. Yeah, you know how the game is played now. So who's it up to? Well, look, let me just add this. On the one hand, we know that racial profiling, ethnic profiling, have already taken the presumption of innocence and turned it into a joke. We know that. We know that. We have people in prison in this country who are innocent. They are there because of their skin color, because of the way they used English, because of their ethnicity. We understand that. But at least those people, as Truthout points out, at least those people had some sort of judicial activity, as biased and as against them as it was, and that could nullify the whole charade of judicial activity, but they had some sort of recourse through the courts. This strips away even that. In addition, Carl Levin and John McCain want to invite domestic military deployment. You know, the Posse Comitatus Act that was passed when? After the Civil War? When it was determined that the military could not be used for law enforcement. Which makes perfect sense, because the military is not trained for law enforcement. The military is trained for one thing. Sounds like two things, but it's one thing. To kill and to break things. That's it. To kill and break things. Because when you're dealing with war, usually the side that does the most killing and breaks the most things comes out the winner. To turn over to the military, first of all, the right to detain people, citizens in the United States, without judicial review or judicial process is bad enough. That sounds very weak. It's horrifying. But to deploy the military here to do that is beyond description. I mean, I don't know the words for it. I'll just sit here and scream and yell and froth and fume like I usually do, all to no avail. Beyond its blatant violation of fundamental American principles, Truthout says, Levin and McCain also play loose with the system. Their bill passed the Armed Services Committee essentially in secret, without even a single hearing. A single hearing on this Soviet-style legislation. Are you aware of that? Now, when it's reported without a single hearing, without a single public hearing, without a single hearing that we know of. Now, where is Brian Williams on this one? Where is Wolf Blitzer on this one? Where is Morning Joe on this one? Where are all the liberals on MSNBC on this one? Where are you? Hello? Anybody there? You know, we can watch the lineup of liberals and, oh, aren't they wonderful? On MSNBC for hours as they shred the hypocrisy of Republicans like Herman Cain, or the idiocy of Republicans like Michelle Bachmann, or the empty-headedness of Republicans like Rick Perry. But where are all the liberals on MSNBC? Come on, boys. Come on, girls. Where it concerns the National Defense Authorization Act that is being considered now. Oh, I mean, it's one thing to go stand with the workers in Ohio who rebel and say, no, we're not going to have our collective bargaining rights taken away. Okay, great. But that was a couple of weeks ago. Where are the liberals on MSNBC? And I focus on them because they're the only little group of where liberals, so-called, or as they're currently defined in media, are now clustered. Oh, I know. There's Oberman over on Current TV, and there's an effort being made to get some liberals on Current TV. And if that happens, hooray, hooray, hooray. But the little liberal ghetto that gets all the focus now, come on, where's Al Sharpton on this? Where's Rachel Maddow? Come on, folks, where are you? It's called the National Defense Authorization Act. Have you been talking about it? I don't know. What the hell? I've been gone for 6 days. I have no idea. Maybe they have been. Have they? So, Levin and McCain are inviting domestic military deployment for law enforcement. Well, I shouldn't use the word law. For suppression enforcement. And I cannot think of anything more Soviet-inspired or Israeli Likudnik-inspired or George Orwell 1984-inspired than this National Defense Authorization Act. Can you? Can you? Do we really live in a nation where, you know, Bob Alexander mentioned this the other day in his last night on his Lemmings piece that I showed on this program that you can now find. Go to tvnewslies.org. It's there. It may be up at opednews.com. It's out there now. Bob Alexander's piece. But this is exactly what he was talking about. Not necessarily the National Defense Authorization Act by name, but this is precisely what he was talking about. Where in the hell are Americans who are willing to stop walking towards the cliff's edge? Where are we? Where are we? You know, I can sit here and talk about this for an hour and that's it. And maybe somebody else will sit and talk about it for an hour and that's it. Where are the millions of people standing in front of the Congress? Out in the streets. Saying, are you goddamn kidding? Are you out of your freaking minds? You are considering something called the National Defense Authorization Act, which will give the United States military the power to arrest my ass, hold me without charge, without trial, in permanent detention. Where are we? Are there any real Americans left that can stand up to this? I mean, I appreciate very much what the Occupy movement is doing. They're pointing out the horrific income inequality abuses and the prostitution of our system by money. God bless them for doing it. What about this? The National Defense Authorization Act. Hello? Is anybody there? National Defense Authorization Act is what we've been yelling about here this past hour. Military detention on an indefinite basis based on accusations by whom? Who would make the accusation that it's time to lock you up, have the U.S. military lock you up? because you are now a suspect. You are a suspected citizen. This is really, really madness. Truth Out suggests that the only good thing that might come out of this, the one positive aspect of this essentially Soviet proposal, is the hope that maybe it'll inspire some kind of action among Americans. That maybe there are one or two principles left. And maybe it's just the right to trial before we're locked up indefinitely, on which we can agree. That's a very thin broth to hope for sustenance from, isn't it? Huh? During the Bush crime family years, Congress granted power to eavesdrop on every American with no court order, nothing. Just based on the inclination of the organization or the person or the authority that decides it's time to eavesdrop on you. The power to ignore so much of the Nuremberg principles as to render that entire situation judicial murder. When we hanged the Nazi perpetrators, based on our behavior now, we were committing judicial murder. There was no basis in law. We had no business doing it. The Nazi perpetrators should have been left alone because we are now allowing it here. This is insanity. Torture with impunity. Nuremberg said no. Invasion of countries for no reason. Nuremberg said no. I should rephrase that. The United States said no, no at Nuremberg. And those principles were enshrined, I hate that word, into international law. But apparently, the U.S. now, under the leadership of Democrats and Republicans, who are now beholden to the corporate state, to the capitalist state, to the national security state, under Democrat and Republican alike, those enshrinements mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. The power to initiate unilateral war, the power to eavesdrop on citizens with no court order, without their knowledge, the power to torture, the power to assassinate at will. And now it is suggested to include the power to deploy the military in the United States for the purpose of law. Whose law? Enforcement, preventive detention, indeterminate detention, no right of innocence until proven guilty, no right of habeas corpus. Son of a bitch! Does anybody, are you awake? Do you realize what is happening? This bill introduced by Democrat Carl Levin and Republican John McCain, not a bill, but this act that is being considered by the United States Senate in secret. Outflanks the executive branch. It grants powers that neither the White House nor the Pentagon, if you want to believe the official story, want. And that both the Pentagon and the Obama administration have agreed to resist, if you believe the official story. And someone who is a much better student of the Federalist Papers and the ideas behind the Constitution of this country would agree that at this point Jefferson and Madison are rolling in their graves at the betrayal of what they thought was going to be their legacy. And here we sit. Well, pay attention over the next few days, Truth Seekers, and because I certainly will. I'll be looking to see, and I hope you will too, whether or not there is any reference to the National Defense Authorization Act that makes it into mainstream media, whether it is broadcast media or cable media. Let's see what happens. Let's see if those words pop up. National Defense Authorization Act. Let's just make it a test, a quiz for ourselves here. Let's find out. National Defense Authorization Act. Don't you love the wording? Defense Authorization Act. I'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
Becky, thank you.